And welcome in to the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Hope everybody is doing well this morning. We got a whole lot to get into today here on the program, and we appreciate you being along for the ride with us. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Enjoyed some Igor last night. He was incredible. Then I went to bed with Dallas up 3-0, and they lost, huh? That's wild.
Can't be blowing 3-0 leads in the playoffs and think you're going to win series. Like that's a tough one.
That's a tough one. Now, they were down 2-0 to Vegas.
They were.
At home.
They were. They didn't blow 3-0 leads in either one of those games, but they were down.
Yeah.
Nick Keyser, how are we doing? What's going on?
Good morning, fellas. Doing good. Glad we got to talk to Bruno and company yesterday. So
Bruno and company, I like that.
Fun times.
Sounds like a good sitcom from 1993.
It does. We got a whole lot to get to on the program today. The Titans have signed Tyler Boyd. We'll get into that here in just a few minutes. Obviously, the end-of-season press conferences with the Predators yesterday. There's a lot to react to, specifically from Andrew Brunette and from Barry Trotz yesterday, but a lot to react to just in general from the Predators, and we'll get into all that throughout the show today. Caroline Fenton will be with us at 7 o'clock, and then Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com for his weekly visit from 8 to 9, talking all things Titans. So we'll take your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Joe, before we dive into the Predators and their end-of-season stuff from yesterday, your thoughts on Tyler Boyd. We talked about the Zay Jones part of this yesterday. They had brought in Boyd last week. Zay Jones was brought in earlier this week, and it was put out there yesterday afternoon that the Titans and Tyler Boyd had come to a deal. Jeremy Fowler put it out there that was up to $4.5 million, which means it's not really $4.5 million, and maybe it gets there if he hits all of the benchmarks that they've put in place for their contract. I, personally, think that's a great move for the Titans. I think it's a great deal for the Titans. And now you've got a 1-2-3 in your receiving room of Hopkins, Ridley, and Tyler Boyd. I think this is a fantastic move for the Tennessee Titans. What do you make of Tyler Boyd officially coming to Tennessee?
Yeah, I like it. It's I'm a little bit surprised at the low price tag, frankly.
I am too.
That's a heck of a deal, really, to get him for that. And like you said, no information yet on the specifics with the incentives. I would imagine it's just participation stuff, so it's easy to get to. Gosh, I would think so with that number.
I would hope so for him.
But I like it. I think it's a good deal, and now it's another reliable guy who knows the coach, knows the offense, is a good player, and you've got three veterans who are proven who can play this game at a high level now, and I think you're going to see a lot of 11 personnel, which we've talked about anyway, with this offense. And, you know, I think I saw some debate yesterday on, like, what this means for who. I mean, to me, first of all, if I'm the Titans, I'm not worried about moving Treylon Burks. I'm letting him be the fourth receiver and see how he responds and see if he can carve out a role. And I think it probably most clearly affects Kyle Phillips. I just don't see with signing Tyler Boyd and drafting Jaquan Jackson, even if Jaquan Jackson is just a returner, that's
a spot.
So I just think that this probably means it's going to be tough sledding for Kyle Phillips to be on this football team anymore.
I would agree. On the Burks front, like I've seen this too. Some Titans fans were talking about this yesterday of, well, obviously he's not going to start and he's not going to play a ton, so Titans should try to move him. It's like, what are you going to get? Like, you're not getting hardly anything for Treylon Burks at this front, nor should you get hardly anything for Treylon Burks. So what the best possible outcome for me would be is hopefully he bursts onto the scene, forces himself onto the field a little bit more, and if not, then you got some depth there at that point.
People get hurt in this game.
It'd be
we
real
noticed.
Nice to have some depth at wide receiver. And right now it feels like the Titans might have a chance to have that, which is good.
Right. People get hurt. Guys are going to get hurt in the receiver room. So Burks and NWI to me are your next two. And that's nice. That's a nice deal to have that as your 4-5.
Yeah.
Last year, you had to start those guys hope they make plays. So this is It's still not the cornerback transformation, but certainly those two rooms, you know, corner and receiver, have really, really been worked over to on paper to a really good place.
Yep. The other thing I thought about yesterday with the addition of Boyd, assuming that the offensive line is significantly improved. I'm not going to say assuming that it's great, but assuming that it's significantly improved. I think we're going to find out a whole lot about Will Levis next year, right? I mean, you've got Pollard, Spears in the backfield, Hopkins, Ridley, now Boyd at wide receiver. It's a pretty serious transformation of skill position talent that he's got around him right now. And look, you know, Tyler Boyd is not like some elite player by any stretch of the imagination, but what he does really well. Like, he operates well in the middle of the field. I think the Titans needed somebody like that. I'm interested to see how Brian Callahan uses somebody like that in the offense. Obviously, he's very familiar with Boyd, so he'll know how to best use him in this offense here. But Will Levis, assuming, which may be a big assumption on my part, we'll see, assuming the offensive line can hold up adequately, I think we're going to find out a lot about what he is this year based on the moves the Titans have made around him to this point in the offseason.
Yeah, and if it's information the Titans like, then they might not be bad.
May not be.
So if it's if he responds to this and plays well, then obviously that helps him in the quest to be the Titans' long-term quarterback, and they could be a pretty decent team. So I think now it really is. I have no doubt that this receiving core is good enough. I don't know where it ranks. I don't know that it's way high on the list in the NFL. Although I think if you got the best versions of all three guys, it wouldn't be – I mean, it would be certainly above the halfway point. But I think it's solid to very good. And then it's – the offensive line is still a big question. I mean, I don't know. You said if. Yeah, I don't know if they're going to give him that protection. I don't know if J.C. Latham is going to work out at left tackle. Or if they got an answer at right tackle. So that's – I guess that's always been the biggest question, and it still is. And I guess you could look at it and say, man, the biggest question still wasn't addressed effectively enough, or at least we don't know that it was. It wasn't obviously addressed effectively enough. But you drafted someone at 7, and you got a good center in there. But if that comes together and at least is decent, then, yeah, I think it's going to be a really good look at Will Levis.
I'm looking at FanDuel Sportsbook. There's still over and under – 6.5 wins for the Tennessee Titans, with the under being the favorite. Tyler Boyd did not shift the odds very much for FanDuel Sportsbook based on what I'm seeing right now.
Well, did Ridley or Snead? Yeah, those
I don't
are
think
the,
so. I mean,
if they didn't
how
move
bad
the
did
odds,
they had the Titans being before those guys?
Yeah,
I didn't look before them.
If they didn't shift the odds, then I wouldn't expect Tyler Boyd to. Yeah, look, I think everything I see, it seems like every day there's a new list of somebody, you know, predicting the divisions, predicting the ranking the teams, ranking the rosters, draft positioning for next year. Everything I see has the Titans among the bottom, certainly the bottom four teams in the league.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you can see,
that's the NFL view of the Tennessee Titans.
I think it's also the NFL view of Will Levis, but you can see, like, based on what they've done, like, I think they've got a chance to be okay offensively. Mm-hmm. Like, right? I mean, again, it comes down to that huge question. Can you protect Will Levis? But if they can, like, I like a lot of the skill position players that they put into the mix here, including at running back. Like, I'm excited to see Pollard and Spears and what that combo does together. But these, you know, Corey Curtis tweeted this yesterday, and it's an interesting point. And is this the best Titans wide receiver room of all time? I don't know. Like, look, there's not been a whole lot of great ones to choose from, just to be totally honest with you. Is this the best one all time? I don't know. Here was Corey Curtis' tweet. Quote, I don't know if this will be the best wide receiver room in Titans history, but does anyone remember when that room had 4 first-round picks, 23,000 career yards, and 145 touchdowns in it? Which is a good point. I'm pretty sure they've not had that.
No, although, like, at times when you had, like, Randy Moss in it or Andre Johnson in it or Julio Jones in it, you did have an accumulation of stats in the room.
It would be great if they had all those guys at the same time. That's a heck of a room right there.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, obviously, the the best Titans receiver, most hyped, most excited and all that was when A.J. Brown and Julio Jones were together, right?
I mean, yeah.
Like if Julio Jones was going to continue to be Julio Jones for one more year, then that would have been the easy answer, I think.
For sure.
Right? But going back, I mean, they had some good players. Obviously, D-Mace turned into a great player. And they had
Dyson.
You
know,
you had Tevin Dyson was in there. You had Drew Bennett had some stuff.
Yeah.
And then, but yeah.
It was good.
I would say with Hopkins, the way he played last year, and if you get Ridley at his best, and this will, Boyd's a nice, look at the number, look at the contract, look at what he got. Understand that this is not some earth-shaking signing, but it's just
right.
a good signing.
Yeah. It's a good move.
It's a nice compliment to those guys. So I think if Ridley is what they hope, then we could be talking about that quite a bit this year.
I got a texter that asked, will Boyd help improve Chig? Interesting way of phrasing it there. Will he help improve the tight end spot in your mind with what he does in the middle of the field?
I think Chig's got to improve Chig, you know?
I agree.
I mean, I think that there's a place in this offense for a tight end to make plays. So we've seen that in the Bengals offense. But I don't know that this changes anything dramatically for Chig. I mean, the more playmakers you have, in theory, that can create a little bit more space for somebody else.
As Mo on the text line pointed out, Tyreek Hill, apparently a big fan of the Titans wide receiver room, who tweeted yesterday, quote, Titans wide receiver core, nasty. Ooh, this from Tyreek Hill yesterday on Twitter.
Wow, okay.
They've got a fan in Cheetah.
I saw a Titans fan say, I've seen people tweet that before, but never as a compliment.
That's a good point. We're going to get into the Tyler Boyd signing, into the Tennessee Titans throughout the show today. Caroline Fenton will be with us at 7 o'clock. We'll get her thoughts on the move. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com for his weekly visit in the 8 o'clock hour, talking all things Tennessee Titans. So we're going to get back into the Tyler Boyd move, what that does for this offense and for Will Levis throughout the day here today here on the program. Coming up next, we'll switch gears. We'll get into the end-of-season press conference yesterday for the Nashville Predators. Lots of interesting comments from Andrew Burnett and from Barry Trotz that we'll get into. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Barry, how important do you think it is to have something resolved either way with Saros this summer, whether it's an extension or...
Well, I can't do anything till July 1, really, but we'll be in talks. I'm sure it's not going to be definitely a July 1 announcement, probably. I think it's going to be a process with his people, his representatives. But I do know this, that Juice wants to be here. And he's been a big part of it, and I'd like him to be here. So we're gonna work hard at getting something done with him.
That's Barry Trotz yesterday at the end of season press conference for the Nashville Predators, discussing the future of UC Saros. He is eligible for a contract extension on July 1st. We've talked a lot about Saros, what the future looks like in goal for the Nashville Predators. And Joe yesterday, that was the general manager saying, hey, he wants to be here, and I'd like him to be here. So we're going to work to that end this offseason. Does that wrap it up for you in terms of what's going to happen here with the Predators? How did you view Trotz's answer on the UC Saros situation yesterday?
I wouldn't say it wraps it up for me. It certainly was interesting. You know, there was a lot of debate, had some conversations with various media members after the presser about, like, how do you take that? If you're Barry Trotz, what's your strategy publicly with this? All he knows the question's coming, right?
Yep.
I mean, I guess I have to take that seriously, you know, that he would like him to be here. But you can always say, I'd like someone to be here. And then, but then someone called me and they offered this and this and this. And so
yep.
He also said yesterday he'd like all of these young men to be back next year. And we know they all won't be back next year, right?
Correct.
So I really don't know how much to read into it. You tell me.
Look, I've said for a while now, like I think the way that they're leaning is probably to bring Saros back. I don't know that that's the way that I'm leaning, but that's the way I feel like they're leaning. I didn't take yesterday's comments from Trotz as like an absolute open and shut the door slam dunk case that it's done and that it's just a matter of time before they get the contract done. I do believe that they're going to seriously discuss it, obviously. I think they're going to seriously discuss it with Saros and with his agent. And the thing that stood out to me was, yeah, I don't know that I'd expect a July 1st thing. Like, it's going to be a process. It's like, okay, well, what does that mean? Does the process get into next season? Does the process take until, like, next trade deadline? Like, how long is the process? That was kind of the first thought that I had there. You know, his answer, he was asked earlier in the press conference about Askarov and kind of what his NHL readiness looks like. And he kind of bounced around all over the place in that answer. He started talking about Lankinen and the year that he had. He started talking about Askarov being in the playoffs right now. And then basically said, like, you know, if the fit's right, he could be back there next year. And if it's not, you go in a different direction. And it kind of didn't make sense as to what he was talking about there. I couldn't tell if he was talking about Lankinen, if he was talking about Askarov. So I thought he was pretty coy on the Askarov stuff yesterday. And, you know, look, they're still playing. He's in a playoff spot. The last couple weeks for them of the regular season and into the playoffs have not gone very well. So it is a little bit of a kind of a slump that Askarov and that group is going through right now. And they got to win three in a row to keep their season alive. So their season's not done yet. So he was talking about, like, the playoff run. He mentioned the playoff run a little bit later with, like, Tomasino in terms of it'd be nice to see them go on a playoff run. So
yeah.
Apparently he's very locked in on this Milwaukee Admirals playoff run.
As we all should be.
As we all should be. But, like, it was – I didn't come away from the goaltending conversation yesterday thinking anything was definitively solved one way or the other.
Yeah. Alex Doherty said, and then he wrote, too, about the Askarov reaction maybe being a little bit different – than the way Trotz sounded when he talked about it in February before the trading deadline. Again, there's all with all this stuff. Obviously, these GMs know they're speaking, you know, to fans, also to their own team, also to other GMs,
correct,
et cetera, et cetera. So you always have to keep that in mind. But it seems like you're right that the lean is toward signing Saros. My next question on that would be, if that's true, do they in fact subscribe to the Willie D theory of mentorship and kind of go, you know, keep those two together? And then you, from a, you know, for a couple years, yeah, from a developing a Askarov standpoint, that'd be great. But then, as you pointed out, as we've talked about so many times, then after a couple years, then what, when you've signed Saros to this big deal? Or is it more like, as soon as they get that deal done, then, okay, now Askarov is on the market, and you see what you can get for a prospect of that caliber. I think that there would be some interest, there'd be some return. There wouldn't be as much as a return as you would get from Saros, but at least then, like, you could maybe capture some assets. I just think it'd be a bad situation. The biggest disagreement I have with Willie on that whole thing is that he tries to compare it to Pecorino and UC Saros, and on so many angles, it's so different. I think it could be a not great situation for both Saros to have, because yes, goalies should expect a young goalie to be coming up, that you expect that. But Pecorino did not have a first round pick that people were going nuts over coming in when he was just starting a contract.
He also wasn't at the beginning
of a 29 years
deal.
Old. He was 34 years old,
it's totally
deep
different.
Into a contract. And Saros was a nice surprise and became this great player. Askarov comes with all these decorations, but also on the Askarov front, I don't think it would be good. I don't think he wants that for one freaking second.
I agree.
To sit here for a few years, and Saros was like, hey, I'm in the NHL, I'm learning, I'm getting better, and eventually you get your opportunity. That is totally different from the mindset of a Yaroslav Askarov, I believe. And so then you could get it, you could have problems if you decide to do that. So I think if you're going to sign Saros, then I think you have to think about moving Askarov.
I agree. It's a really interesting situation because I do think, like, if they decided to move on from Saros this offseason and trade him, am I convinced that Yaroslav Askarov is ready to start in goal for them next year? No, I am not. And by the way, like Kevin Lankinen talked yesterday, and it's pretty clear, like he wants a starting job. Like, I don't know if he's going to get it, but, I mean, he was asked about it. It's what you expect him to say. He's like, yeah, everybody wants to be a starter.
Sure, so sure.
I feel like Lankinen is at least going to take it to free agency and see what's out there. Like, if I was him, if I was his agent, there's no way I'm signing with the Predators before I see what's out there, right? Like, you may eventually circle back and say, you know what, there's not a starting gig out here. There's not the deal that I'm looking for. I like it here in Nashville, which I believe he does. And it's been a decent situation for me to work with Ben Vanderklok and play, albeit kind of sparingly. But it's been a good situation for him to kind of revitalize his career. Because after he left Chicago, I mean, his numbers were awful. I remember when they signed him, I was like, what are they doing signing Kevin Lankinen? And I think he's repaired that throughout the league with the way that he's played. Is he going to get a starting job? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But let's say he does. Let's say he gets in a situation where it's 1A, 1B somewhere, and he's got an opportunity to play a little bit more than he would here in Nashville. Well, what happens then? Like, what happens if he leaves, and then you're not able to come to an agreement with Saros on a contract extension, and that allows your mind to start wondering if you're Barry Trotz of, okay, well, like, do I need to be a little bit more open to trading him than I am right now? Like, what do you do at that point next season if you end up trading Saros and Lankinen's gone? Like, who's playing goalie for you?
It's a good question. Also, if I'm Lankinen and they sign Saros, I want no part of this place.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it.
Because yeah, Askarov is coming. I mean, you're the third person.
Yeah.
So, like Trotz said, he wants to be here yesterday. I'm like, I'm sure he likes it here and all that stuff. But he wants to play. Yeah, if I'm him or his agent, it's – You gotta see how that shakes out. If they do move Saros, then at least I you could probably look at it if you're him, like maybe for a year you might even get more starts. I mean, yeah. It'd probably at least be a split, so it'd be continuation of helping yourself. But maybe I have no idea what the market might be for him out there.
By the way, UC Saros was asked like up and down about the contract situation yesterday, and you could tell he's just like, all right. He's been talking about it for a long time, and you can tell he's over it.
So in other words, before I got there, a bunch of questions about that happened.
That is correct.
Oh, yeah. Well, sorry, UC. I came in at the end and said, hey, let's talk about the contract again.
At one point, we asked him, he's like, you know, we've been talking about this for a while. And he's like, yeah, I know. You have. It's been pretty funny.
And, well, the thing is, it was, I mean, what was it, October? And it was like, well, it's about to happen.
We're
talking to the representatives. Still waiting. Clock's ticking.
Well, and to be fair, like they can't technically sign it until July 1st, but you could have like the framework in place for sure.
Yeah.
So,
you could. The conversation could be over right now.
It could be. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get into some more interesting comments from Andrew Burnett on a couple of young guys for the Predators yesterday as well. That's coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Wednesday morning discussing the Predators' end-of-season press conference yesterday. We'll have Caroline Fenton coming up at 7 o'clock. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com from 8 to 9. Talking all things Tennessee Titans. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Lots of ground covered yesterday, specifically by Andrew Burnett and Barry Trotz, including from a couple of young guys, one still with the team in Cody Glass, and another one not with the team right now in Milwaukee with Philip Tomasino. Let's start on the Tomasino front. So Tomasino, I think, ended up playing exactly 41 games, so half a season with the Predators here this year in Nashville. Spent a lot of it on the fourth line, spent most of it at least in the bottom six, and was kind of in the lineup, out of the lineup, and then eventually got sent down to Milwaukee, where he's been ever since. Obviously, you're talking about a former first-round pick, a guy that's still very young, and that you would hope, if you're a Predators fan, is still a big part of your future if he can put the pieces together. And I thought Burnett's comments on him were pretty interesting yesterday. Here's what Andrew Burnett had to say about Philip Tomasino.
Yeah, the reports I've got, he's played real well down there. I think it's probably been good for him. I think up here, we talked about it mid-season where we felt for his development to have an opportunity to be the type of player we believe he can be. He needs a little bit more. He needed more ice time. He needed a bigger role. He had to grow a little bit, both on and off the ice, I think, a little bit. And from all reports I got, he's right on course. Now, in saying that, for me, I think he needs to grab the little of our identity that we've created here, and he has to have a little bit more of that in him. And if he can, and if he puts the work in, and he's relentless, then his skill will take over. But if he, at different times this year where he wanted the skill first without the work, I'm not sure he has a chance to play for us next year. So we're building him. I think it's, like I said, it's been really good for him. This playoff run will be really, really critical for his career, and I hope he rises to the moment, and I believe he will.
So that was Brunette yesterday. Pretty interesting stuff there in terms of, and we've heard this before, really from different coaching staffs, talking about, you know, the will before the skill and letting the work ethic and all that stuff take over, and then the skill kind of flows naturally out of that. And Brunette said, if that doesn't happen, I'm not sure that he's going to have a chance to play for us next year, was his quote there. What did you make of what he had to say about Philip Tomasino? A lot of people reacting to that after the press conference and saying, well, Tomasino's done in Nashville. Won't see him back there.
Well, I'm glad we played the whole quote, because I saw some tweets that were like, if you took one, you could take part of that and you could spin it either way.
Yep.
Like, wow, it sounds like he's really believes in Tomasino if you listen to the first half of it. And then, oh, Tomasino's out. Okay. That's why the whole quote's important, because to me it does not close the door on him, but it does lay it out pretty clearly. He's got to take some huge steps to have a shot. And it goes along with what we've seen, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think there's a portion of the fan base that was just mystified when he wasn't playing more regularly and wasn't playing
because he's a first-round pick.
Because he's a first-round pick.
Not because of how he's played.
You know, obviously, if you're a Predators fan, like, you want him to do well, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a first-round pick. You need him to be a part of the answer moving forward here. And it just hadn't been there at the NHL level. It doesn't mean – I still think he's got plenty of ability. Like, I don't think he has the skills to be, like, a star NHL player. But I think he could be good. I think he could be a middle six guy for you, second liner, third liner, that can provide some nice scoring for you. I mean, could he get 40, 50 points? Like, I think he could do that. And that's fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with that in the NHL. But clearly, he was not playing the way that they want him to play. What I mean by that is, like, the style of play, the way that, you know, without using this term that I think has become a little redundant with them, relentless. I mean, you heard him talk about it there in the answer. Like, hounding people is probably the way I'd put it. Like, you got to, in this system, you got to be all over people. You got to start hounding people. You don't have to be, like, a defensively shut down forward. Like, Andrew Burdett's not asking everybody out there to just be, you know, like a Selke Trophy nominee at the end of the year and to be defensively inclined. But you do have to, like, engage with people and, like, be in the battle. And too much, I don't think we saw that from Philip Tomasino.
So he said, he quick mention there, and then Barry Trotz had another on-off ice. He said, you got to grow on and off the ice. Is that something to read into or not?
I think people are reading way too much into that. You know, I saw people talking about maturity issues last night. I don't know where people are getting maturity issues from. I mean, that word never came up in the quotes yesterday.
He said he's got to grow on and off the ice.
Right. I mean, I don't think that necessarily means maturity issues. I think that could mean a lot of different things. I mean, I think approach, it could mean a lot of different things. So I think people are taking leaps when we're talking about maturity. I mean, Trotz kind of said the exact opposite thing yesterday when he talked about when he sent him down, he handled it really mature, is what he said.
Yeah, yeah. Handling going down, for sure. Yeah. I mean, you leave it open-ended, though. You say, you need to grow off the ice. Maybe it is just daily approach or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that's just the first time I'd heard off the ice mentioned with him.
Well, maybe it is.
I don't know.
Well, if that's the case, then that would be probably more concerning than the on-the-ice stuff moving forward here.
Yeah. whatever it is.
Coming up, he also had some pretty interesting comments on Cody Glass. Now, Cody Glass got brought up earlier in the press conference when it came to like why he didn't play in the playoffs. And Andrew Burnett was basically like, yeah, I just didn't feel like he was going to help the team. Like, he considered Glass, but he felt like Parsonen was a better fit for the series, which I agree with, by the way, with the size that Parsonen brought to the table. He was asked later in the press conference about Cody Glass and about kind of what it's going to take to get him going here. And here's what Andrew Burnett had to say on the Glass front.
I think he's got to find himself a little bit. I think he lost a lot of confidence, and I think he lost himself a little bit on the way. I think he lost a little bit of his reason why. Why does he play? So I think he's on his own little journey of finding that. He has the skills. He has all the skills in the world. He had a tough year. He got hurt. You know, lost his mojo. Came back. Got hurt for a shift. And then he just had trouble getting his feet underneath him the rest of the year. So for him, I think it's a complete reset. Find his reason why he plays. And come to camp, kind of talk to him today, that he's got to make the team. And he's going to have to put a really hard summer in, working on his body, working on his game, and working on his mental fortitude here to come to camp and earn a spot.
So that was Andrew Burnett on Cody Glass yesterday. Obviously, this was a rough year for Cody Glass. What did you make of Burnett's comments there in terms of what that means for Cody Glass this offseason and potentially with his future with the team?
Yeah, with Tomasino, I took away huge summer, huge camp. Door isn't closed. With Glass, I think it's a little more closed.
I think so, too.
So, and again, both of those things, again, kind of match up with what we've seen. I think Cody Glass has some skill. He had some good moments last season in particular. I mean, he had some moments this season, but obviously it started going the wrong way on him, and he's had a lot of things, including injuries. But I just don't know that we've seen enough that you would have any real expectation for him to be a regular in your lineup, especially if you improve your lineup as you need to do. Some of these guys who are in the lineup instead of him, I understand that people would rather see a Glass, a Tomasino, right? The high draft picks, things like that, as opposed to some of these guys who are in there, but they're more effective. And some of these guys who are more effective are going to be replaced too, because you have to upgrade the lineup. I thought one thing that Barry Trotz talked about yesterday a lot is that he talked about his Washington team and how like their third line had so many big goals and their fourth line had so many big goals in the postseason. They just played a team that has like three legit lines where you can create offense. And so I don't think there's any question from yesterday. If there's one theme, it's like you have to – yes, you want to get the big superstar forward or the number one center, but also you need more people who can score in the lineup.
No question. No question about it. And, you know, we're going to get more into this in the 7 o'clock hour, but I thought it was the way that Barry Trotz described it. I mean, how many times yesterday did he use the word acquire? It was a lot. Like, he was talking about, you know, you got to acquire. We got a lot of draft capital. We got assets that we can use. You go acquire. You're aggressive in free agency. He brought up, like, the Vegas approach unprompted in terms of, you know, Vegas didn't really use the draft to win the Stanley Cup. They went and got a bunch of free agents and made a bunch of trades, and that's how they won the Stanley Cup, and which is true. I mean, go look at what Vegas did. So he talked about using kind of a hybrid approach to that. It sounded like, and you know, it's one thing to say this in the press conference, it's another for deals to present themselves and actually pull it off. It sounded like they plan on being fairly aggressive this offseason to me, was my takeaway from Barry Trotz.
I'd agree. And yeah, it's also an acknowledgement, is how I took it from Trotz, that right now the farm system, it's not like you can just go, okay, you, and here we go. You have to do it right now.
Yeah. I would agree. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for The Choice Is Yours. Joe Rexroad in the questions chair. We will do that next. Right now, I got your chance to win a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa in Franklin and your chance to be qualified for an upgrade to a $250 gift card. be caller number 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa in Franklin. Mother's Day coming up on Sunday, and will be qualified for an upgrade to a $250 gift card. A station representative will contact the winner as soon as those things come in, so make sure you're in tune for that. Coming up next, the choice is yours. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
We all have choices to make. Like right now. It's The Choice Is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice, so when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit JaredCompaniesInc.com. The choice is yours, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It's time for The Choice Is Yours on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Jared Companies, Fire and Commercial Plumbing HVAC Division. Give them a call at 615-515-1290 or visit JaredCompaniesInc.com. Joe Rexroad is in the questions chair this morning. Joseph, the floor is yours.
Okay, this is a little bit of a, well, it's a different version because this is the You Are Barry Trotz edition.
I like it. Okay.
But also, we're going to do something, some of my favorite books as a child, Choose Your Own Adventure. So, depending on one answer, then you could go, you know, the next two could be different questions.
Okay.
So, So we'll start with the first one, which is where it starts and what we've talked about a ton. But now everybody's got to, I'm going to lay these out for you clearly, and there's no wiggle room on this, okay?
Okay.
So, You Are Barry Trotz, question one. You trade UC Soros for a first-round pick and a high-level prospect, but no proven NHL players coming back. Or you sign him to a 7-year, $8 million AAV deal.
I am trading him for the first-round pick and the high-level prospect. And the reason I'm doing that is not because I don't think Soros is a good player, because I do. But I just think in the long run, you're better served spending that money elsewhere. So I'm going with the first-round pick and the high-level prospect. And that's a return that most people probably would not love, but that's the way I'm going with it because I think you use the money elsewhere throughout the lineup. That's what I'm doing.
I tend to agree. I would rather do a trade than sign him long-term for that with no wiggle room with just those two things. I believe that there would be a lot more advantageous avenues for the Predators if they did a trade as opposed to keeping him here long term. I would believe in him, but not under that for sure. So if I had to make a choice, I'd rather move off from him, see what Askarov's got, maybe bring back a proven veteran as the backup and split that time. But that's the way I'm leaning.
I was afraid of this. We're all going to have the same answer. Because I have the same answer. I got to
call Willie.
What's that? Yeah, I know I need Willie on this. Well, we're still going to answer both of the next two questions. But I'm doing the same thing. And, again, as we've said over and over again, it's not a reflection on Soros himself. It's just I just think that's it's a risk for sure. And maybe at some point down the road, you're like, boy, look at UC Soros dominating. And all of a sudden the Preds are – in the goaltender wilderness for the first time in forever. But I just think Askarov is promising enough to do this. All right. Well, choice two, if you traded Soros, which you did, which we all did, is it Lankinen and Askarov together next season or some other combination for you?
For me, it would be some other combination. I think I would go with Askarov. I want to be a part of it for sure. Is Askarov ready to play 45, 50 games next season in the NHL? That is where I'm with Willie that I don't know that that would be the best route for him. Now, I'm also, when I'm trading Soros, like next season is not my entire focus. Like I'm trying to get him ready for the long haul. And trying to get Askarov ready to be the guy over the next couple of years here. So I would go kind of a different route when it came to the goaltending situation there. I mean, look, you can go sign some goalies this offseason. None of them are going to be great options for you, I don't think. Lankinen would be an interesting option. I just wonder with him, is there a situation out there where he feels like he has a chance to get into the long-term picture a little bit more? Because, like, even if he's back here next year and it's like it's a tandem with Saros, or excuse me, with Askarov, like, he's got to know that the year after that, it's going to be Askarov. Like, it's what it's going to be. So, do you want to sign yourself up for another year of that? Maybe you really help yourself and that's when you land a starting job after that. But, I mean, I think I'd probably look elsewhere. I mean, Talbot will be out there. Samsonov looks like he'll be out there. There's some different options. Again, none of them are great, but you could go a different way if you wanted to.
Yeah, I think I would be pretty similar. If Kevin is going to be around, it wouldn't be for that long, and I just don't see him staying here. So you could get a guy like Casey DeSmith or Matt Murray this offseason. You know, Robbie just ran through a few other options. I think they would have to go get a backup if they trade Saros, and in this scenario they are. So you would
start Askarov.
I would start Askarov. If the deal goes down, yeah, I think I would run with it and sign that backup, and then
you're an undercooker. You're an undercooker. Don't undercook.
Apparently. Yeah.
You gotta over.
But we've already talked about, if you don't let him come up here, you know, what's that gonna do for him? You know, he's a pretty motivated guy.
Come up for sure, yeah. I think it's just a question of what the work split is. See, personally, so I am going with Lankinen, and I think that Lankinen will find that attractive in terms of, look, Askarov, no one wants to throw him into the fire this much. You're gonna get an opportunity to really be at least a 1A, 1B goalie for a year. Take it and run with it, and then you're going to set yourself up. If you really believe you can be a starting goaltender in this league, we're going to give you the opportunity to prove that. And in the meantime, we're going to slow play to some extent Askarov. And again, I think Lankinen would be – I think there's a good chance he'd be interested in that. Clearly, if they sign Saros, I think he's got to go elsewhere. All right. Makes sense. If you signed Saros, which none of us did, but if you did and you're Barry Trotz, do you bring a – did I say Skarov? I meant Saros. Did I say Saros?
Yeah, you did.
Okay. A Saroskov. It's just make it all one.
What a goalie that would be.
Well, again, if you just had them both on the ice, who cares if you're constantly shorthanded? You're not letting any pucks in. Do you bring a Skarov in to be his backup, to have that mentorship next year, or are you motivated to try to move him this summer?
I think I would probably bring him in to be the backup. And I think with the hope, and this could backfire, and I fully recognize this, I would bring him in to be the backup with the hope that he plays well in the backup role and that increases his trade value. That would be what I would do. Because I do think, you know, if you decided to trade him this summer, let's say they signed Saros and you were committed to moving Askarov this summer, I think you could get a decent return for him. But there is a difference between a guy that's played almost nothing in the NHL. What's he got, two games in the NHL, three games in the NHL? And opposed to a guy that's put together a season where he played 30, 35 games and looked pretty good while doing it. So that would be what I would try to do. And that could backfire because he could get to the NHL and it could be bad. But I think I'd be willing to take that risk for a year and see if I could build up his value that way.
It would probably backfire, and I understand this, but I would probably keep him in Milwaukee, and I would trade him not this summer, but I would trade him closer to the deadline, I think.
That was not an option, Keezer.
That okay. wasn't, but I guess this summer, I didn't this summer, say yes. No wiggle room, I guess.
Yeah. I agree with the sentiment to move him regardless.
Okay.
I'm just saying what I think might happen.
Yeah, I lean toward move if at all possible to just avoid. I get the idea, and I agree to a point, like the mentorship thing could be good for him. But if he sees Saros sign that deal, he knows that his future is not here. Now, granted, sure. You got to be a pro. You got to go take advantage of whatever opportunity you have and hope you do get moved. But I think I would just want to move him because, like you said, Robbie, that's my concern is the backfire situation. Not in a good mindset. Wants out of here. people from Russia are saying, just come back home, and then you're not, then he doesn't play well, and then you get less. I mean, I still think right now he's a very attractive prospect. All right, last one. I'm not going to get any offer sheet scenarios because Barry Trotz bagged on that yesterday.
He did.
But I will ask, what is your move to land a big-time forward for this team, Barry Trotz?
You go first. Let me think about this for a second.
So, first of all, like Sam Reinhart is absolutely – he's not getting out of Florida, right?
I'd be surprised, but it's not impossible.
I mean, they're, you know, that's very attractive if you could possibly pull that out. I just don't think it's realistic. I know that this is not a perfect answer, but give me Stamkos. I know he's 34. I mean, he had 41 goals this year. He is a serial winner.
Yeah, he is.
And I think you throw everything into that. I also threw out the idea, what about Saros and Nyquist for Marner? Would the Leafs go with Marner bring with Saros and Nyquist coming back? I just those questions about Marner are a little bit too much. Stamkos is a winner. And obviously that still means, like, your window just continues to be short. You continue to be old. But, man, he's still really freaking good. So it's a short-term fix. But right now, that's my answer. I don't have a great trade idea other than Marner.
Nick?
I was trying to think about it. I do like your idea, Joe. I really do. But I'm trying to think of maybe a different name. If he does leave... What if Vegas doesn't want to keep Jonathan Marchessault? What if they don't want to keep a guy like that? I think Vegas is going to have to do something this summer. Hey, Barry's already talked about it. He said, hey, I might take advantage of some other teams at some point. Could Vegas be one of those teams? Was he alluding to maybe doing something like that yesterday? I seem to think that's a possibility.
Okay. Going with the Marchessault possibility. I think an easy fix in the short term would be Stamkos. I'm open to that. I'm definitely open to Reinhart if that's a possibility. I'll throw what I would consider a couple of different pipe dream scenarios at you real quickly before we get to Caroline. Let's say Edmonton falls apart. Draisaitl's a free agent next season after this year. I'd make a pitch for that. I would also – there's a guy I think is probably a little bit more realistic, and we'll see if he signs in Philly, which he might. But Travis Konecny is a guy that I love, 30-goal scorer, 65, 70-point player. Like, he's not a superstar player. He's really darn good. He's a free agent next offseason as well. He's going into the last year of his deal. I'd be making a pull for that, dude, because I think the way he plays is exactly the way that Brunette and Trotz like to play. So, Konecny.
All right.
There we go.
We're good GMs.
We are. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Caroline Fenton. We'll get her thoughts on the Tyler Boyd edition from the Tennessee Titans and her thoughts on the end-of-season press conference from the Predators yesterday as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.